Have you ever been deceived? Don't you absolutely hate it? I hate being deceived. But what is worse is I hate being deceived when I could have done something about it. When the deception was because I was blind, not because somebody had blindsided me. We're going to talk about being deceived and the consequences that come from self-deception. You don't want to miss a precept of God's Word. We're in Jeremiah, and we're in chapter 42, and what you're going to see is the deception that comes because you fear the face of man instead of fearing God. Instead of listening to God, you choose to walk the way of your flesh because you think that you know better. And you know what? When you find out that you didn't know better, it is a real bitter pill to swallow, a real bitter pill. And that's why to me, as I've told you all week, Jeremiah, this section of Jeremiah is the saddest of them all. It's the saddest because here is a situation that is totally avoidable if they will just fear God, if they will just trust God, if they will just listen to God. And they have gone, remember, to Jeremiah. Yohanan has taken the people and rescued them from Ishmael, who was taking them to Ammon. Here he is camped right outside of Bethlehem on the way to Egypt. And he stops and he asks Jeremiah for advice. He asked Jeremiah to go to the Lord and find out what the Lord is saying and come back and tell us. And whatever God tells us, whatever he tells us, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we just read this in yesterday, but whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, whatever he tells us, we will do it. We will listen to God. So Jeremiah comes back and he tells them. And it's not what they think it ought to be. They think that they are smarter than God. Somehow they think that they can control their destiny by their own decisions, by their own reasoning, and they're leaning to their own understanding. And the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. They are not trusting in the Lord. And so Jeremiah is warning them about what's going to happen if they choose to not listen, if they choose to go down to Egypt. Well, it is my goal to get us through these remaining chapters by the end of this week. So let's get on with it. In verse 13, and I'm going to pick up in verse 13 of chapter 42. He has told them to stay in the land. He's told them that God will bless them, that God will relent concerning the calamity, that he's going to show them compassion, that he's going to restore them. I mean, what a check God has written on their behalf. What a check. And all they have to do is listen to God and obey. I mean, it hasn't been the habit of their life, but now they have another opportunity. He says in verse 13, but if you are going to say, we will not stay in this land so as not to listen to the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt where we will not see war or hear the sound of a trumpet or hunger for bread, and we will stay there. In other words, we're going to go because we don't want to hear about war. We don't want to hear a trumpet. We want to have plenty of bread. As if Egypt is going to provide that for them. And then they say, then, Jeremiah says, in that case, listen to the word of the Lord, O remnant, if that's what you say. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go and reside there. If you set your heart on this, if this is what you're going to do or die, then you need to know. Then the sword will, which you are afraid of, will overtake you there in the land of Egypt. You're going to go there and die. And the famine about which you are anxious, because you said we'll have plenty of bread down there, he says, will follow closely after you in Egypt, and you will die there. So all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt to reside there will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Remember, those are God's three judgments: sword, war, famine or conflict, famine, and pestilence. The pestilence that comes as a result of famine, as a result of being sick, as a result of not having the proper nourishment. He says, so all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt to reside there will die by the sword, red slash, famine, and pestilence, and they will have no survivors or refugees from the calamity that I am going to bring on them. You go, I'm going to bring calamity. You disobey, I'm going to bring calamity. You don't walk the way I said walk, I'm going to bring calamity. You see, precious ones, we forget that God is God. We forget his character. We forget his holiness. We forget his righteousness. We forget his justice. We forget that because he is holy and righteous and just, that he has to deal with sin. He cannot let it go undealt with. His righteousness commands his judgment. He says, so thus says the Lord God of hosts, as my anger and wrath have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That happened in chapter 39. They saw it. They were part of it. They experienced it. So my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. I want you to know that when you get to Egypt, I'm going to deal with you. He says, you will become a curse. You will become an object of horror, an imprecation, and a reproach, and you will see this place no more. I'm offering you the land. I'm offering you the land I offered to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land that I gave them as an everlasting possession. I'm offering you blessing. And I want you to know that if you go to Egypt, you will not see this land again. Beloved, God sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. There are consequences to our choices, and he is letting them know fully. And you know what? They're not going to listen. Watch what he says. He says, the Lord has spoken to you, O remnant of Judah. Do not go to Egypt. You should clearly understand that today, I have testified against you. Do not go to Egypt. What are you doing that you know that you shouldn't be doing? Whose bed are you going to that you know you shouldn't be going to? Who are you meeting? What are you watching on the internet? What are you taking? And you know you shouldn't do it unless you've seared your conscience. You know that that's wrong. Who are you flirting with? Is it someone of the same sex? Is it someone that is perverted and twisted in their mind and in their thinking? And are you going after that because it's titillating? Listen, don't go there. There are consequences. And then he says, don't go to Egypt. You should clearly understand that today I, God, have testified against you. For you have only deceived yourselves. For it is you who sent me to the Lord, Jeremiah speaking, sent you me to the Lord saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord God says, tell us so, and we will do it. So I told you today, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God. When I come to obey, I put a big blue circle. If it's not obeyed, I put a slash through it. And he has said, you sent me to God. I'm telling you what God said. And God's message is don't go to Egypt. And I'm begging you. I'm begging you, don't do that. How many of you have been begged by someone that loved you? Don't keep drinking. Don't take those drugs. Don't go there. Don't get in that car. Don't walk off. Don't leave your kids. Don't leave your wife. But you were determined. You thought you knew better. You thought you could be happy. You thought you could call the shots, and you've forgotten something. There is a God in heaven, and you cannot transgress against God. Yet transgress means step over the line and get away with it and not reap the harvest. Oh, beloved, Jeremiah is saying, do not go to Egypt. He says, therefore, you should now clearly understand that you will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. Now listen, in the place in which you wish to reside, you die in the place that you chose to go to, the place of your disobedience. You see, the wages of sin is death. It's speaking of eternal death. But James chapter 1 tells us that when our lust, our desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. And there's a death there. There's a death. I mean, I have been with women in prison. There are women in prison that I just love. And there are men that I have ministered to in prison, and I love them, but it is so sad for me. It is so sad for me to see the courtyards, I mean, where they go outside to see the grounds. There's not one tree. There's not one shrub for fear that they will hide behind it. They live in a barrenness. Now, many times that's what it takes to get them to fear God, to get them to listen to God. Otherwise, what they do is they go deeper and deeper and deeper into bitterness and hardness and anger and perversion and sin. Oh, beloved. Oh, beloved. Fear God. To fear God means to listen to Him. To fear God means to honor Him as God. You die. I wrote it in the margin next to verse 22. You die where you wish to reside. They had a choice. Chapter 43. But as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, then this happened. What happened? We'll tell you when we get back. You're behaving if you think that you can call the shots to life, if you think that you can make your decisions and have what you want, that you're the captain of your own fate. You know what it's called? It's called arrogance. 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 Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me, I'm sorry, I know better. I know it all. You know, I mean, I've got it together. And if you don't have it together, you think you have it together, or you think that this is what's going to satisfy you. Oh, beloved, listen, in Jeremiah chapter 43, in verse 1, it says, as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, that is, all these words, Azariah and Yohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you are telling a lie. You're telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you are not to enter Egypt to reside there. We do not agree. You are lying to us. What have these people done? They had said, tell us, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we will do it. They really didn't mean it, did they? They wanted confirmation that they should go down to Egypt. That's all they wanted. They just wanted God to bless their plans, to bless their disobedience, to bless their arrogance. And listen, precious one, listen, listen, listen. I just want to cup your face in my hands and say, listen, you cannot fight against God. You say, but I'm listening, but I want to tell you something. I don't even believe in God. God has you listening for a reason, because he exists. And he's saying, you better believe me, because someday you're going to stand face to face with me. And you're going to give an account for the way that you have lived. You're going to give an account for turning your back on me. And these people were going to do the same thing. They thought that they could get away with it. Now just stop and think. Reason with me for a few minutes. This is Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been prophesying for 41 years. 41 years Jeremiah's been prophesying. Everything that he's prophesied has come to pass, except they haven't been in captivity 70 years and God has not set up his kingdom and David's not yet on his throne. But everything about the judgment, everything about the Babylonians, all came to pass. So they're not listening to someone that has a good track record. So it says, verse 3, and they're still talking, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, is exciting you against us to give us over to the hand of the Chaldeans so that they will put us to death or exile us to Babylon. That's what you're doing. Now they just asked this man for advice. Now they're accusing him. So Yohanan and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. But Yohanan and all the commanders of the forces took the entire remnant of Judah who had returned from all the nations to which they had been driven away in order to reside in the land of Judah. The men, the women, the children, the king's daughter, every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the bodyguard, had left with Gedaliah, together with Jeremiah the prophet and Baruch the son of Neriah, and they entered the land of Egypt. Jeremiah had no choice. He was taken with them. The people were taken to Egypt. Now listen, by ungodly leadership that would not submit to the word of God, that thought they knew better than God, and that went against the word of God. One of the things that I watch carefully is how the prime minister of Israel is responding to the pressure of the nations. Because if he will believe God and not give away the land and not compromise and not stop building settlements, God will bless. But the minute he kowtows to the nations instead of fearing God, he's in trouble. Our help doesn't come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So watch what it says. They entered the land of Egypt. They took the entire remnant of Judah. Go down to verse 7. They entered the land of Egypt. And then he wants to make sure you understand why. For they did not obey the voice of the Lord. They didn't fear God. To fear God is to depart from evil. To fear God is to make him your shield, your fortress, your trust. And they went as far as Tophanes. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tophanes, and that's in Egypt, saying, take some large stones in your hands, hide them in the mortar that's in the brick terrace, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace at Tophanes, in the sight of some of the Jews. I want you to do it. I want the Jews to see what you're doing. It's a visual aid. And say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am going to send and get Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I am going to set his throne right here, this throne right here over these stones. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be brought down to Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar that you were fearing. Nebuchadnezzar, the one that you said, oh, we can't stay in the land because he's going to get us. I'm going to bring him here. It says, I'm going to set his throne right over these stones that I have hidden, and he will spread his canopy over them. In other words, his canopy, his tent that shows that he is the conqueror. He will come and strike the land of Egypt. Those who are meant for death will be given over to death. Those for captivity to captivity. Those for sword to the sword. And I, God is speaking, will set fire to the temples of the gods of Egypt. And he will burn them and take them captive. So he will wrap himself with the land of Egypt. This king of Babylon is just going to take the land of Egypt and he's going to wrap himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd wraps himself with his garments. And he will depart from there safely. He will also shatter the obelisk of Heliopolis, which is in the land of Egypt, and the temples of the gods of Egypt. He will burn with fire. Listen, he's coming here. He's coming. He's going to set his throne right here. And when he sets his throne and spreads his canopy over it, he is going to go in and he is going to destroy the temples of the gods. He's going to destroy their idols and he is going to leave Egypt safely. You wouldn't listen to me. You thought you knew better. And I want you to know, you don't know better. Now, what comes next? The word of the Lord to the Jews when they're living in Egypt. And when you look at this word of the Lord, what you're going to see tomorrow is that when you don't listen to God, you do great harm to yourself. Oh, beloved, don't die. Don't die. Because of your sin. Listen to God. Don't fear the face of man. Don't think that you're the captain of your fate. Listen, you only have breath because God has given you breath. You're listening because God wants to draw you to himself. He wants to introduce you to his son, Jesus. He wants to give you life.
Because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
All this week, you've heard me, beloved, referring to fearing God and not fearing man. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to show you the first time that it is talked about fearing God, that we are not to fear man, but we are to fear God. Listen to this. It's in Genesis chapter 15. And it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you, and your reward will be great. Now, he says that right after he conquers the people of Sodom and after he brings tithes to Melchizedek, who tells him that God has blessed him. Listen, beloved, if you belong to God, you do not need to fear. God is your shield, and your reward is very great. It's the fear of the Lord, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, that keeps you from sin. Listen to what it says. Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain in you, so that you may not sin. What's going to keep you from walking your own way? What's going to keep you from following your own desires? What's going to keep you from leaning to your own understanding? It's the fear of God. It's knowing that God is who he says he is, and it is respecting him and trusting him to be God, to perform like God, and he never fails to be God. So what is God calling us to do? He is calling us to fear him, and that will keep us from sin. The third thing that I want you to see is from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And that is, it is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to know what to do, if you want to have knowledge about life, it begins by respecting God and listening to him. And listen, if you despise wisdom and knowledge, if you despise the word of God, if you don't give time to the word of God, then precious one, you are a fool. I didn't call you that, but God says fools despise wisdom and instruction. So are you in the book? This ministry is here to help you discover truth for yourself, to go deeper, and to disciple others. Go online. Get in touch with us. Preceptsforlife.com.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.